Well, good morning. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Hallelujah. It's great to gather together on Easter Sunday morning, 2020. I know that the gathering is so different from our normal gathering, because normally by now we'd be well into the midst of what is a very, very busy day for us. But I do trust and I do hope that you've been able to tune in early from 10 o'clock this morning and to enjoy all the incredible Easter windows, the incredible decorated eggs, the beautiful smiling faces of so many of our children who have communicated to us already something of the love, something of the good news, something of the wonder of the message of Easter, the message of God's love to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, can I just say a massive thank you, to all of the families, the children, some of the adults as well, who've been decorating the windows, who've been decorating eggs, who've been going to incredible lengths just to make sure that this Easter Sunday, we still get a flavour of so much of what we normally do as a family of God's people. You know, it was encouraging even this morning, Alan Stirling. Normally on an Easter Sunday morning, you could be joining us today from Kilmarnock, you could be joining us from Bells Hill, you could be joining us from East Kilbride, or you could be joining us from the many different communities in and around those areas. And we're so thankful to God that so many people in the life of East Kilbride, in our own community, and the life of the other communities that we're drawing alongside and helping and ministering alongside with. We're so glad that so many have been tuning in. And if you're tuned in this morning, not normally a worshipper in any one of those three congregations, we want to just give you a warm welcome and trust that the message of God's word and all the different things that we're doing will just minister into your heart and into your life. Normally on an Easter Sunday morning, we're up at Calder Glen Park very early in the morning. In fact, we normally have a resurrection run for those who are fit and able. And in that, we reenact the Peter and John running to the tomb on the very first Sunday morning. And of course, John, the younger one, outrunning Peter, the older one, in getting there first. And it was great this morning to get a Facebook video from Alan Stirling. Alan's one of the leaders in the church at Calderwood. And he was up at Calder Glen Park this morning, being our substitute. In the same way as Jesus is, he was our substitute running for us at Calder Glen Park. And we're so glad about all of that. Alan, bless you. And normally, of course, we'd be rolling our Easter eggs. We'd be rolling, first of all, our decorated, painted, hard-boiled eggs at Calder Glen Park. And later on, well, the opportunity. I trust you got one of these, at least one of them. And I got one of them as well. I'm maybe here on my own, but I got one of them. And later, after this service is over, I'm going to roll it down the stairs and I'm going to enjoy some chocolate this afternoon. Again, just as we celebrate God's goodness to us in Easter. Normally, we'd have gathered in the church by now and had some breakfast together and then have our morning service. And then after a morning service, lunch together. All manner of wonderful activities. You know, later on after the service, there's a great live stream selection of praise and worship for you to enjoy. But I also want you to click on the extra little web connection that we've got for you later, because a couple of our families, two or three of our families, have put together little videos for us just to encourage us and to bless us this Easter Sunday. And so make sure that's not just going to be photographs, that's actually going to be some great videos for you to watch. There's a puppet show in there, there's a dance in there, there's the most incredible little animated version of a song that we all know and love as well. And so I'd encourage you to tune into that later on today as well. And of course, normally we'd have baptisms, and I was sitting praying and reflecting. And I think what we will do when we are allowed to all gather together and we have a service of praise and thanksgiving, I think we'll need to have some baptisms that day, because there were some folks who wanted to be baptized this Easter Sunday. And what we'll do is we'll do that when we can gather together again. Well, it's good to be here. A massive thank you to Mandy for setting things up so well. When the unexpected is turned around when something unexpected happens. And we're going to think a little bit about that this morning as we turn to God's word. But let's join our hearts together in prayer. Let's unite our hearts, even though we're all in our own homes. Let's unite our hearts in prayer as we come before the risen Saviour this morning. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we come before you this Easter Sunday morning. We thank you that you are the sovereign Lord. We thank you that you are the one who is in control of all things. And when we find ourselves in the midst of circumstances and situations that can make us fearful or apprehensive, that can have us, as it were, despondent and downcast, we thank you that you are not taken by surprise by any of this, that you are in control, and that in your grace and in your mercy, you would call each one of us to focus our attention, to focus our heart, to focus our lives on who you are. And gracious Father, we ask that as we gather together this Easter Sunday, you would fill our hearts with the light of understanding about what the true message of Easter is all about. That you love us and that you long for us once again to walk in fellowship with yourself. That you long for us to acknowledge you in all that we do and to be a people who would first and foremost worship and praise you and live in the light of all that you have revealed for us. Father, we thank you for the resurrection truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he who died on Calvary's cross to pay the price for our sin is the one who was raised from the dead, the first fruits of all who will be raised from the dead by faith in him. And so, Lord our God, as we gather this day, we pray that you would speak into our hearts and into our lives, and we would respond to your word, and we would know your anointing and your blessing. Be near to each one of us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is great to be together, and I want to encourage you, if you have a Bible, to get your Bible, to turn in your Bible to the Gospel according to Luke, to Luke chapter 24, to the last chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke is wanting all of us to understand and to know very clearly the reality of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you have your Bible, I'm going to encourage you to open your Bible and to begin at Luke chapter 24 and at verse 13. Luke chapter 24 and at verse 13. So here we go. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread, and blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us? While he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Amen. And we pray that God would speak to us as we look into his word. Do you know, this beautiful account of two folks journeying on the road to Emmaus, we often think it's two men. We don't know that. We know that one is Cleopas. Some have speculated, is the other his wife? Is the other a friend? Is certainly one who was very interested and not, although immediately part of the close group of disciples, one who was certainly following along with the disciples and looking for Jesus to fulfill all the expectations they had as the Jewish Messiah. But two folks on the road to Emmaus, two folks journeying through life, and yet we notice as we draw alongside them that there's a sense of disappointment in their journey. There's a sense of confusion and perplexity. There's a sense of bewilderment. There's a sense of sorrow in their journey. And as I was reflecting on Easter Sunday morning and thinking about what we should share in the midst of the crisis and the virus that we find ourselves in and the lockdown scenario that we discover ourselves all to be in, we find ourselves in, I wanted to journey with the two folks on the road to Emmaus. Because there were two folks, as Mandy was sharing with us, when the unexpected happens, when what we didn't expect to happen happens. When everything gets turned around, because for these two folks on the road to Emmaus, that's exactly what happened. Their journey was one of sorrow. Their journey was one of confusion. Their journey was one of perplexity. Their journey was one of sadness and disappointment. There's a bewildered feeling about their journey to Emmaus. But into the midst of all of that comes the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Comes the one that we started our service by declaring, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Into the midst of their sadness, into the midst of their confusion, comes Jesus. And whenever Jesus comes into the midst of any experience of life, you can guarantee that that experience will be utterly transformed. And this morning, as we gather together as families this Easter Sunday morning, I want to share with us three simple headings that we can think about in the context of this passage. And so our children, as they join with us, they're able to write these things down about how Jesus transformed this journey they were on. And I also want to bring a number of challenges into the midst of that. A number of challenges that we can take and apply to our own hearts and to our own lives. A number of challenges that we can make real for ourselves this Easter Sunday morning. Do you know, I am utterly convinced that we are created and designed with meaning and purpose by God our Father. I am utterly convinced that life has meaning and that our life finds its meaning when you and I discover what it is to be united by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, this morning as we walk with these two folks on the road to Emmaus and we look at Jesus drawing alongside them, my prayer is that as you journey through life, whatever that might hold for you, that as Jesus draws close, then like them, your eyes would be opened. Your heart would be burning with the reality of a living faith. And you would be as they were, ready and willing to get up and to share what you have discovered with one another. Life has meaning, but I think life's meaning is only to be found in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so these two folks are journeying, a journey of about 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as they're journeying, we get a little insight to what they're talking about. They're talking about the experience they have just been coming through, the experience in a very real sense that they're right in the midst of. They're talking about all the events of Good Friday. In fact, they're talking about the events preceding that, the trial of Jesus, you know, the chief priests, you know, rousing up the crowd to cry out for the release of Barabbas rather than of Jesus, the trial of Jesus and subsequently the crucifixion of Jesus. They're reflecting on the one that they believed was going to bring deliverance to the people of Israel. Of course, as Jewish people, they saw that deliverance purely on a kind of political level and a kind of military level in terms of the overturning of the Roman oppression. They didn't have eyes to see that the deliverance that God would bring would be way beyond anything that that could deliver. It would be the delivery, the freedom of forgiveness of sins. It would be the restoration to a right relationship with God. It would be the Holy Spirit breathing into us, not just the gift of life, but life eternal. And when we gather together on Easter Sunday morning, we do that because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Now, this is no ordinary resurrection. You might think, John, what are you talking about? How do you get an ordinary resurrection? When Jesus was here on earth, he raised Lazarus from the dead. When Jesus was here on earth, he raised the little girl from the dead. But of course, in time, they would get ill again. They would die again. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised from the dead for all eternity. He was the first fruit, says Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, of those who will all be raised from the dead with him. You see, that's why the resurrection body of Jesus is so different and so distinct, because he's the first fruits of all who will be raised in Christ. And so they'd been reflecting in all the events, not seeing that Jesus had to offer himself up as our substitute, not seeing that Jesus had to die on Calvary's cross for the sin of the world, not seeing that Jesus had to be buried and then on the third day rise from the dead, that he might deliver salvation for all who would have faith in him. They're journeying with a messianic disappointment. And into the midst of that comes their messianic deliverer. What a beautiful thing. It tells us that in actual fact, when Jesus draws alongside them, their eyes are kept from recognizing him. Now, I want you to notice that in verse 16, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. You know, the first little heading that I want us to think about this morning is a very simple one. Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. But before their eyes were opened, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. You see, the truth is, my friend, you and I will always have our eyes closed to the good news of the gospel, to the good news of Easter, until God himself does a work in our heart. God the Holy Spirit works in our heart to bring us into a place of conviction that we are far from him and that we need him. God himself does a work in our heart that brings us into a place where our sins are such an offense against a holy God that we're fearful that we could ever be delivered of them. But God the Holy Spirit does a work in our heart that also opens our eyes to see that the God who made us loves us, and he longs in his time to open our eyes to see the fullness of who God is for each one of us in Christ Jesus our Lord. But as they started that journey, their eyes were kept from recognizing Jesus. You see, I do believe that you could recognize the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ. For many in other accounts were going to do just that. But God was doing his work here. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And so Jesus draws alongside them. And you know, what I love about what they share with Jesus, don't you love the patience of God with us? God allows them to tell him all that has been going on, all that they have witnessed, all that they have understood, even in their confused state. It's interesting that in actual fact, in what's sometimes called the Gospel according to Cleopas, this little account here on Luke chapter 24, that as they relate all the events of Holy Week, and as they relate what they know of the resurrection events, they're almost indicting themselves further, because they know that he's been condemned to death and crucified, the one they had hoped was going to redeem Israel. They know that some of the women have went to the tomb early in the morning, and they've seen a vision of angels, and they've heard that Christ is alive. But even with what they know, their eyes have not been opened to see Jesus Christ, the Saviour. Perhaps that's true of you. Perhaps you're someone that could rattle off very easily what the Easter message is vaguely all about. But your eyes have never been opened to realise Christ died for you. Christ died for your sin. Christ died that you might be forgiven. Christ died that you might believe in him. Christ was raised from the dead, that so too when you die, you might rise to be with him. They knew about Jesus, but their eyes weren't open to see why he was dying, how we could live not just for the moment, but for all eternity through a simple faith in him. And then Jesus begins to speak. And I'll come back in a moment to the second heading to what Jesus says with them. But They get to a place where they sit down around the table. Now, this is not communion. All that we know is that Jesus shared the Passover with the intimate gathering of his disciples, of which Cleopas was not one. This was the normal gathering together of those in a Jewish home who would, before they began to eat, break bread. And there, their host took the bread, but I think it's very powerful and significant. Took the bread and broke it. And then it says, their eyes were opened. Verse 30, when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Do you know, very often when we gather together as the people of God, it can be in the breaking of the bread. It can be in the breaking of the bread that our eyes are opened. We recognize that Jesus did all of this for us. His death at Calvary's cross was a death for my sin, my rebellion, my rejection of God, my Father. Their eyes were opened, this time in a way that could see believing he is indeed the one who has come to redeem us and to save us. Their eyes were opened. You know, I, in my daily walk, as we're allowed to take that walk that we all do daily just for our exercise, I deliberately go on in a big loop that takes me to a high point where on one side I can look down and see East Kilbride, and the other I can look over and see Glasgow, the city of my birth. And one of the things I do when I get to that point in my walk is I just stop and pray for the town of East Kilbride and pray for the city of Glasgow. And my prayer is that the eyes of the people would be opened to see that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God, the God of all mercy, would move in such a way that he brings us to a place where, under conviction of sin, we ask for his forgiveness. We declare that he is Lord. We invite him to become our Savior. Our eyes are opened. You know, last week, Carl was preaching on Acts 16 on Lydia, and it says there, the eyes of our heart were opened. The eyes of our heart were opened to see that God in Christ was reconciling the world to himself. Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus, it says that something like scales fell from his eyes. He was able, as it were, to see. And, you know, later, writing to the church at Corinth, Paul writes these words. He says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God has said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, it is my prayer this morning that the eyes of our hearts would be opened to see the light of the glory of God as it comes to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. May your eyes be opened to see Jesus this Easter Sunday as your Savior and as your Lord. But not only did the eyes of their hearts were opened, but also It goes on to tell us in Luke chapter 25 that when Jesus has gone from the presence, he said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And I love that. There's the second little thing. Their eyes were open, but the second thing is their hearts burned. Their hearts burned within them. You see, when Jesus walked with them and they shared their story with them, it then tells us the most beautiful thing. He turns to them, and after they've shared a little bit about the events of Holy Week, Jesus says to them in verse 25, he says to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Isn't that incredible? Their hearts burned within them as Jesus opened up the Word of God to them. How do people become believers today? Well, the normal way is that they hear the word of God being preached or proclaimed, or some dear friend reads the word of God with them, or some dear friend shares some of God's word with them. And the word of God does its saving work. It brings us to a place of conviction. Our hearts are set ablaze with the reality of its truth, and we long to know more and more of who he is. And they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he shared with us the scriptures, when he opened with us?" And you know, that's a message, that's a sermon I would love to have heard. Jesus showing from, for them, the Old Testament, showing from all the Old Testament that he is the promised Savior. You know, he would have turned to Genesis and the covenant that was made by Abraham. He might have referred to the sacrifice of Isaac. He would have looked at the Levitical sacrificial system and the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. You know, he would have looked at the suffering servant passages of Isaiah. He would have unpacked this. Oh my goodness, what it would have been. What it would have been, you know, the serpent and the bronze pole lifted up, that if you look to him, you'll live. What a message it would have been as Jesus unpacked from all the scriptures how he, they didn't know it was him at the time, but he had to suffer these things in order to enter into his glory. Their hearts burned within them. As the scriptures were opened up to them. Do you know, without doubt, when you come to that place of faith, when you come to that place where you surrender your life to God and Christ, he places within you a deep love for his word, a deep love to long to know more and more of who he is and the revelation of himself, both Old and New Testaments. Their hearts were burning within them because he had made clear to them from God's word who he was. John says of him, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus himself is the living, eternal Word of God. For you and for me, does your heart burn within you? You know, we know what it is to have hearts that overflow with love. You know, and in the midst of my walks, I sometimes will do the odd errand for different people, and sometimes I drop some food round to my daughter's home. My daughter and her son, my son-in-law, and Linda, my wife, is based there at the present moment in time in lockdown to support them with three children, 6, 3, and 4 weeks old tomorrow. And when I go around, I don't go in, I keep all the social distance. But there's a beautiful little thing that I do with my two older grandchildren, Aaron and Chloe, 6 and 3. We give each other a distance hug as I stand in the driveway and they stand just at their doorway. And then they, with sign language, they tell me they love me. And using BSL, they just do, I love you. And they declare their love, that overflow of a heart burning with love for their papa. And I do it as well. And the other week, I was walking out the street, and it's a fairly long street. My little granddaughter just stood at the door doing, I love you. My grandson had been doing that as well. The two of them have been doing it. But she just kept it going the whole way out the street. Does your heart burn today with the reality of the extent to which God loves you? Do you look at Easter and realize God has given everything for you? He has given everything for you. I mean, his arms are stretched out wide on Calvary's cross. He declares his love. And he longs for you to be forgiven and restored to himself. May today be a day of salvation. May your heart burn within you again to understand the living reality of the living word. And when it happened for our two friends on the road to Emmaus, it tells us that immediately they got up. You know, now it was late in the day, and now they're journeying back immediately at night. They don't hang about. They don't wait until the morning. But it says, and they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And there they find the 11 gathered together. And, you know, the first thing they hear is that, you know, Jesus is alive because he's appeared to Peter. And of course, there's always great authority when it appears to Peter. But the reality is he's appeared to them. And God in his grace and mercy appears to you and to me. And when he does, will we rise up and share that with others? You know, so many people have been sharing with me in emails and WhatsApps. And many people have been talking about how in the midst of this crisis that we're in, we're crying out, we're calling out for the mercy of God. And I'm glad that we're doing that. I'm so glad that we're calling out for the mercy and grace of God. We're rightly crying out to him for an end to this pestilence, for a cure. But this morning, I would love you to call out and to cry out to the God of all mercy. There is a difference. We can want the mercy of God without wanting the God of all mercy. What we need is the God of all mercy, and then we'll know the fullness of the mercy of God. And they discovered the fullness of the God of all mercy. And they rose up and they went and they shared him with others. You know, I want to say, my friends, if you're a lover of Jesus, if you're one who knows him, if you're one whose heart burns within you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you, rise up, share. Share Jesus. Share him with others. Share the goodness of his love that has transformed you. You see, the Emmaus Road was a transformation road. And you and I's road through life can be a transformation road when we allow the good news of the gospel to transform everything. And that transformation begins within us as he opens our eyes, as our hearts burn for who he is, and we rise up to share that with others. You know, I wonder today if today will be your Emmaus Road. Today, in the midst of the most unusual circumstances, Paul was on the Damascus Road going to put Christians in jail when he met the risen Jesus Christ, and the scales fell from his eyes. It's quite remarkable in the economy of God that he might actually have to get us seated in our own homes, not over busy with everything else, in order to give us an Emmaus Road experience, where our eyes would be opened, where our hearts would burn, where we ourselves would share. You know, the writer to the letter to the Hebrews says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. And Peter, writing much later and reflecting on all that he'd come to know and to discover about our Lord Jesus Christ, Peter, he said something very different. He said in 1 Peter, it's something very similar, but something for you and I to apply. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will today be your Emmaus Road? Will you receive the sign language of God saying, I love you? Will you understand, because your eyes would be open, your heart would be burning, and you'd rise up and say, today I believe. Or you would rise up and say, today I want to share what I believe with others. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And in that prayer, I'm going to invite those of you who've never taken a step of faith, a step of trust in Christ, to take a step of faith this morning, to put your trust in Jesus Christ. I also want to exhort those of us who are believers to be very much at prayer in these days and to be sharing all that we know of Jesus with others, for he is our living hope. And we need to know the God of all mercy as much as the mercy of God. Before I do pray, I want just to say thank you for being with us today. And at the end of my prayer, I want to encourage you not just to sign off, but to be still and to take a moment to click on the post-service recordings that we have for you. Right at the start of those post-service recordings, there's a song, and it's been written by and is sung to us by Russell Truman. Russell, as you know, if you're regular at the Calderwood congregation, leads the worship there. There is a tremendous singer-songwriter, and as we've been talking and sharing this week, and I was talking about our hearts burning within us, he's taken that as the inspiration for a new song that he's written this Easter. That our eyes would be opened, that our hearts would burn within us, that we would share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ with others. Please take time just to be still and to allow that song to minister to you. And then there's some tremendous praise and worship songs that you can enjoy as well. And don't forget, later on, perhaps over lunch, click on again and watch some of our families just entertain us with great fun, great delight, and great joy, sharing something of the living hope of Easter. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we thank you for this Easter Sunday morning. We thank you for the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that in and through Jesus Christ, it is possible for us to be born again into the living hope that is here as the first fruits of those who have been raised from the dead, so also one day we will be raised to be with you. Father, there are some of us who bow our heads in your presence this moment, who are not convinced believers. But right now we are under a conviction of sin. And we come before you this morning, and we pray that you would forgive each one for their rebellion against you. In their own hearts they say, Father, would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me? Would you enable me to be born again into the living hope of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hear their cry, God of all mercy. Visit their heart with forgiveness and salvation. Enable them, Lord, to invite Jesus Christ into their hearts and lives to be their Lord. Enable them, Lord, to be filled with your Holy Spirit, that they might live from this day for the glory of your name. And Father, we thank you, and we worship, and we praise you this Easter Sunday morning for the resurrection hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that you would enable us to share you with others. We thank you that you have filled our hearts to overflowing, and they burn with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that our eyes are open to see you in all your wonder and all your majesty. And we pray that you would enable us this day to worship you and to glorify you. And we thank you that to know you is to know life eternal. Bless each one, we pray, and may the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit rest and remain upon us all, each one, this day and forevermore. Amen. Well, a happy Easter to every one of you. May you know the Lord's love this day. May your eyes be open, may your hearts burn, and may you share together in the joy of the resurrected Christ. The Lord bless you. Let us know what God is doing in your heart. Drop us an email. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. Amen.